I wanted to start a shiur about Shavuos, since Shavuos is around the corner. At least in the beginning, I want to use this sefer. This is a wonderful sefer by the Yitzhak Sender. We used this svarim in the past. He has many svarim on every Yom Tov and Haggadah. He has a few Haggadahs and Pesach and all other Moadim. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is his most recent sefer. Came out 2 years ago on the commentator's Shavuos. And he has some really beautiful ideas, Chidushim. It's jam-packed with Yesodos relating to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So today I want to just touch upon a few ideas that have captured my attention relating to the Inyan of Bikurim. We know that Shavuos is called the Yom Tov of Bikurim. In fact, that is how the Torah describes it. Uv'yoyim ha-Bikurim, be'akrivichem mincho chadosho la-Hashem b'shavuoseichem. When you offer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu your first fruits, b'shavuoseichem, during the Festival of Weeks. Why is it called the Festival of Weeks? It's when you conclude counting Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos, 7 weeks. Okay, so what is Bikurim? Bikurim, we know, similar to the whole Masechta called Masechta Bikurim, where first every farmer, when he takes note that his fruits are beginning to develop, he would go to the field and he would tie a blade of grass on the first fruits and mark this pomegranate or this date, this fig has begun to blossom. Take a blade of grass and mark, this is my first fruits. And then when he would later harvest the fruits, he would take all the first fruits, put it in a basket, and bring it to Yerushalayim, and give it to the Kohen. He would put it in front of the Mizbeach, and he would make a declaration. It's the beginning of Parshas Kisavo. I'll read you a few words of Pasuk. Where Kisavo l'Oret Hashem Hashem l'kach nosein l'cho nachlo l'vishto v'yashavtevo v'lokachto mereishis kol pri choadma, which Chazal interpreted to mean mereishis, only the Shivas Haminim, Maker Hadin. Medrabanan, there is Machlekes, if you could also bring from the other Minim, but Maker Hadin is supposed to be from the Shivas Haminim. Asher Tavim Ya'artzecho, Asher Hashem Lekechano Sein Loch V'samto V'atene. There is a special halacha that the Bikurim must be put in a basket, in some type of utensil. And indeed, this was the difference between a poor man and a rich man. A poor man would put it in a wicker basket, and a rich man would put the Bikurim in a gold or silver basket. And the difference was that the gold and silver basket was returned to the Baal HaBayis. But if you gave it to the Kohen in a wicker basket, you did not get your basket back. Okay, it was like Mishalach Manas. When you give Mishalach Manas, you ask the recipient, can I please have my basket back? It's part of the Mishalach Manos to give a nice basket, a nice bag. It's all part of the ceremony. So the money, in a way, gave more than the usher. Not only did he give the Kohen the fruit, the first fruit, he also gave the Kohen the basket. As I learned from this, Bosar Oni Ozil Anyusa. The poor get poorer. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. The poor, not only does the poor have to give away his fruit, the poor also loses the basket. Whereas the rich, they only give away the fruit. They don't give away their basket, they get back their basket. Fine. For some to attend the special lach, we have to use a basket. The lach, the lach, we have to come to the Beis HaMikdash. Asher Yitzchak Hashem Lekech L'Shakech Meshom Mavos L'Koyin Asher Yibay Yemohen. The Amar Te'ilof, He Garte Yom Hashem Lekecha. You make a declaration. I declare today, Ki Yivos Yil'Oret Asher Nosh Nishba Hashem L'Avaseinu Los Aslanu. The Koyin takes the basket, he waves it, he puts it down, and then you make a second declaration. V'yodiso V'yamar Tufte Hashem Lekecha Rami Adiravi. This is what we say in Pesach. The Nusach of the Haggadah, we're all very familiar with this nusach from the Haggadah. Arami Ovid Avi, it's a brief synopsis of Jewish history. And then finally, you pasuk concludes, you are Vyatri Neves, yes, rage is Priyadama, and you put it down. And this Samachta Bukhalatova share no san lukashan lokecha ulve secha. Okay, there's a lot. There are many in Yonim in the Sugya Bikurim. I just want to touch upon a few little things which I find interesting. The first idea is, what is the difference between Bikurim and Truma? Both Bikurim and Truma appear to be gifts that are given to the Kohen. Truma, you take from your produce, 1/50th of your produce, and you give it to the Kohen. Bikurim, you also take, doesn't say what the shear is, the first fruits, and you give it to the Kohen. L'chor, they are almost identical. What exactly is the difference between the two? So there's a very slight difference, a very, very fine difference, and I think this difference really is very important for us. We're learning Nehemia, because Nehemia, you see an overlap between these two ideas. Rabbi Yitzchak Stenner explains, based upon a whole list of sources, the difference is truma is payment to the Kohen for his services. Bikurim is a gift. It's a token of appreciation. With regard to truma, the pasuk is very clear in Bamidbar Perek Yudches pasuk Lamed Aleph, ki sochor hu lochem chelef avoidaschem be'ohel moed. The pasuk makes it very clear the reason why I'm giving the Kohanim truma. It's payment for their service in the Beis Hamikdash. Don't make a mistake and think when you give a Kohen Truma, you're doing him a favor. You're not doing him a favor. He's doing you the favor. He is your representative. You cannot bring in the Beis Hamikdash a Korban. Only Kohanim can bring Korbanos. Only they can do the Avodah. Every single day there's a need for there to be a Tamei Shel Shachar, Tamei Shel Ben Arbayim, the Ketoros, the Menorah, all of the Korbanos. They do the service. They act as the representatives for Klal Yisrael. Therefore, we have to pay them a salary. It's no different than if you have a job and you work. No one works for free. You have to make a living. You have to support a family. I'm doing, this is my job. This is my calling. This is what I'm doing. So you have to pay a salary. This, that, we give Kohanim Truma, it's payment. Bikurim is not payment. It is a gift. It's described as a token of appreciation, like a bonus. Comes the holidays, so you don't just give your worker 8 years' payment.
A gift be a required. Right. Is required.
Correct. The Torah is teaching you that you have to.
It's more in the realm.
It doesn't tell you how much. But
you're asking a very good question. But think about it today. Think about it today. The mailman, or someone that works, that they comes around. It comes a holiday time. You give them a bonus. You give them a gift. Okay, everyone is different. Not everyone does these things. But in the certain communities, it's. If you don't give,
it's against the law. It's in there.
Okay, it's not the mailman. Okay, it's not the mailman.
They take it anyway.
They'll take it anyway. Yeah, no question anyway. They'll take it anyway.
Up to $20.
Let's talk about the paper boy. Okay, the paper delivery. The one who delivers the paper, the newspaper. Right? So if you don't give them their gift, it's not going to be good.
Right. Your paper ends up in the.
But I don't. Exactly. You know, they can. They put the paper. They can put the paper either on the lawn or they can put it on your steps. They have their way of doing things to let you know that they're not happy with their. There's a certain understanding.
Like the month.
What?
Like the month.
There's a certain understanding. You have to show him you're more than just a number. You're a person. I appreciate what you do. It's a very simple concept. You don't have to, but you must do this. And sometimes the bonus is more important. The sense of appreciation you have to give. There's Secretary's Day, there's professional, in the work field, every single day. There's a day when you have to do the right thing for your employees. And if you don't do what you're supposed to for the employees, you know that you're in a lot of trouble. And these things, in a certain way, are more important than giving them the main salary. That's exactly how Rav Sender describes the difference between Bikurim, is an incredible yisod, between Bikurim and Truma. Truma, it's just money. It's just a job. Don't take it too seriously. You work at the Beis HaMikdash, you need a salary, we'll take care of you. We'll pay your salary, you do your thing, you make sure you do your thing, we'll pay you. L'may nafkamina, so this is the very important idea to bring out the nafkamina. You have no obligation to bring Me'ikar Hadin, to bring Truma to the Kohen. You separate Truma, and the Kohen comes to your house to pick up his check. Kohen amachzal beis hagranos. The Gemara talks about a Kohen that should not be mad. But basically, you tell the Kohen, you're the man. I have truma. I have selected you to be the recipient. Come pick it up. You have and halacha, absolutely zero obligation to deliver the tshuva to the kohen. The kohen's not allowed to come and be a schnorrer and say, oh, I, you know, I'm hanging around, I know you have separating tshuva, I want to be the recipient. No, you call him up, guess what, your lucky day, you are the kohen that's going to receive my tshuva as payment for your service in the Beis HaMikdash. Come pick it up. 3 o'clock, I'll be home. Come, make sure you're there to pick up the tshuva. There's no delivery when it comes to tshuva. When it comes to Bikurim, there's no such thing. Parah's very explicit. You pick yourself up and you bring it to the kohen. You bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and you give it to the kohen. What's the difference? Well, something is payment, you go pick up your check. Okay, I used to work years ago. I used to have to go before electronic, before they used to, automatic electronic deposit. I used to go, just pay, you pick up your check. You used to go wait online. It was a very unpleasant experience. And then half time, oh, we can't find your check. What do you mean you can't find my check? I worked here for free, worked my head off for free for you people. You can't find my check. No, we can't find your check. Come back. But chutzpah. That's how it is. I have to go retrieve my check. But a gift? I'm not going. You bring me the gift. That is an idea which brings out this fundamental difference. Now, why is this so exciting to me? This idea, because we're learning now Nehemiah. And what did Nehemiah do? One of his major takanos during the tkufa, the time of the Bayis Sheni, was you bring the tshuma to the kohen. No more are we making a takana where the kohanim have to come pick up the tshuva. Now, on a very simple level, we believe the psukim, the reason why he did this was because if you're not going to bring all the tshuva to the Beis HaMikdash and make a central, make the Beis HaMikdash a center, then the kohanim, there were so few kohanim, they would leave the Beis HaMikdash, they would go to their hometown to make a parnasa. So in order that there should be a supply, a free supply of kohanim available to the Beis HaMikdash, so the takana was, everyone should bring the tshuva to the Beis HaMikdash, so the kohanim would, there would be kohanim that would have parnasa, and they would be able to hang on the Beis HaMikdash and do the service. But on a deeper level, what Nehemiah was doing at the time of the Bayis Sheni was, he was really bringing the two together. He was really saying that at the time, there was only that temporary takana, all of us, it was only during that period of time. When you pay the kohen, you have to pay him with dignity. You have to, the truma has to turn, has to have a degree of bikur. Now, it's not so far fetched to say this even alpi halacha, because the very famous pasuk that says utshumas yodicha, the pasuk says vehavesim shama. I don't know what the pasuk is. I thought it had the source. The pasuk, but the pasuk vehavesim shama ulaseichem. The ace terumas yetchem. And Chazal, that's what is the pasuk?
I don't know. I think it's maybe
Baloska. Okay. So the ace terumas yetchem. And what's terumas yetchem refer to? Chazal dash elu habikurim. So you see from this that the Torah itself calls the first fruits bikurim. The Torah is giving legitimacy. The Torah is saying that there are times when you pay the kohen, don't just pay him like a worker. Different kufas and klal yisrael, you have to pay him with an appreciation. That the payment itself shall be given with the same dignity that you give a bonus. The Torah says so. Not all of them. On the one hand, the Torah says there's something called shuma, and there's something called bikurim. Uviyoyim habikurim. There's something called bikurim. But on the other hand, we have a pasuk that says that bikurim is called shuma. What is the Torah doing to us? The Torah is telling us that there are times, there are situations in life, or in the history of Klal Yisrael, where the kohanim are in a position where they need the extra dignity. They deserve an extra degree of dignity for a service that they're providing which is beyond what is really called for, especially during the time of the Bayis Sheni, when it was very great Mesiras Nefesh to completely abandon, to give up. People were very poor, there was no parnasa, and to give up a life of making parnasa, coming to Eretz Yisrael to work in the Beis HaMikdash, that was a very difficult thing. And if a Kohen to make that sacrifice, he deserved that even his salary, the basic salary, should not be given him, oh, here's a paycheck, just take your paycheck, but it should be given to him with a much greater intense degree of dignity. And the Torah gives legitimacy to this. Torah says, "Chumas yetchem elu habikurim," and that's exactly what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah said, "Now is a time where instead of the Kohanim coming to pick up their chuma, we're going to bring the chuma to the Kohanim. We're going to upgrade chuma to the status of bikurim." Okay, so this is the first you saw it. Yeah.
They forced the Kohanim to come to Yerushalayim. If you were calling outside of Yerushalayim.
Therefore, I don't know if they forced anyone. They encouraged them. You come and we're over here. We need you. We need you and come here. And you come here, we're going to supply you with food. We're going to bring the truma to you so you won't have to worry, and come and work for us in the Beis HaMikdash. It's an incentive. But on a deeper level, it's not just an incentive. We're going to appreciate you. We're going to give you your salary with dignity. There are different ways to give a person salary. I know of a story, this goes back, a story of a certain yeshiva, where, I can't tell you all the details, but I know the story from very, very, very reliable sources. And the custom of the yeshiva was, on the beginning of the month, the president of the yeshiva, he called in everyone to come in, pick up their checks. Everyone come into the room, everyone sits around the conference table, he calls out Levine, this one, Cohn, Schwartz, he just throws everyone their check. So one of the these are very chashuva people
recipients
very chashuva, and one of them felt it's not nice, disgusting way. What are we like? This is not a way you give out. You give someone a check for the. So he didn't come. Very poor person. He was a very, very poor person. He didn't come. Beginning of the month, he didn't come to the meeting lunch to get his check. So the president goes over to him, calls him up and says, his name was Schwartz. Schwartz! You don't need a check? You don't need a check? You didn't come? So this person, he opened up his mouth and he says, what a chutzpah. Who do you think you are? What do you think we are here? Dirt. Just because you're a very successful businessman and you support the yeshiva. This is how you treat your staff. What are we, a bunch of garbage? You come, do I want to check? We give our handouts to everyone over here. We work. We do holy work. What kind of God? He opened up his mouth to him, and from then on, he took it seriously. The checks were sent in the mail, or they were sent in a very dignified way. Later, Roshim. It's exactly what it says over here. The Kohanim, to a certain degree, there's Shuma and there's Bikurim. Shuma you pick up. Bikurim is a gift. But the Torah also calls Shuma Bikurim, Shuma Utshumas Yetchem, Bikurim, to teach you there are times when the Shuma should be given dignity. Who is the one that took this idea to the extreme? It was Nehemiah. It was Nehemiah at the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Takana, everyone shall bring the Shuma to the Kohanim, just like you bring the Bikurim to the Kohanim. Give them their salary with dignity, because the times demand that we do so. It was unusual circumstances, so we have to show out a deeper degree of appreciation. Okay, so this is one very important idea. Let's go to another idea. Another idea is this very bizarre concept. Why is Masechta Bikurim the last of Seder Zeroyim? In Seder Zeroyim we have many Mishnah. We start with Masechta Brachos, and then we have a whole long list of Mishnahs. There's Peah, and there's Meiser, and there's Masechta Trumos. We have a whole long list of Masechtas that deal with all of the Orla, Klayim, Meisrois, Trumos, and the very last Masechta of Seder Zeroyim is Bikurim. In the process of giving the matanos, the first thing that you give is Bikurim. So L'chaira Bikurim should be the first Masechta after Brachos. So you want to learn about Masechta Brachos, then you make a Bracha, fine. But after, when you begin to describe all of the Masechta that deal with the Manos Kahuna and the laws of the land, the first thing is Bikurim, the first fruits. So why is it safe for the end of the Seder? It's a very tough question. It's a very tough question. There are many answers. Just to touch upon some of the answers. One answer is, at the time when the Beit HaKadosh wrote the Mishnayos, it wasn't Nogea very much, because Bikurim only applies to people who actually grow, who actually own land. Eshu Adama Asher Nosata Lanu. You have to own land, and you have to grow the produce, and then you give first fruits. At that point in time already, when Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote the Mishnayos, which was during the time after the Churban, that Kufa, the Tanoim, very few people own land. The land was owned or controlled by Goyim, where people were workers for other people. They were work, so they very few people actually had upon themselves the personal obligation to be mafresh, bikurim. It's on the Baal Habayis, the owner of the land. But Truman, Meiser, you chayiv in Truman, if you receive, you go to the store and you buy grain from an Am Haaretz, you mechuyiv to be mafresh Truman Meiser. If you work for someone in the field, you mechuyiv to make sure that you leave over klayim, orla. The laws of klayim, orla, Truman, Meiser apply to the masses. The laws of Bikurim, due to the special halachos, only apply to landowners. And at the time Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote the Mishnayos, there were very few landowners among the Jews, so therefore it was not a very practical halacha, and therefore he saved it for the end. It's a tremendous chiddush, but that's what it says. That's how someone will learn. There are many mahalach, you know, why are the Mishnayos ordered in different ways? Many approaches to these issues. That's the topic of this, but this is one thing that's thrown out to explain why Bikurim was saved for the very end. Another approach, a very interesting approach, is that since the Torah allows you follow the order of the pasuk, Bikurim is elaborated upon at the end, at Parshas Kisavo. Parshas Kisavo is kemat, the very end of the Torah. Now it's true, we have mention of Bikurim all over the Torah, we have in the Bahaloscha, and we have it in Shemos. There's a veiled reference to Bikurim. Don't get me wrong, Bikurim are mentioned here and there, they're thrown out. But the elaboration of the ceremony, of how it's described in great detail, is saved for the end of the Torah, Parashas Kisavo. And therefore, Rabbeinu HaKadosh followed Seder Dekra. So if you would follow the order of how the Torah presents the mitzvos, Bikurim comes pretty much at the end, and that's why it was saved for the end. Okay, there are many other answers. Let me just try if I can remember some of the other answers. Okay, let's leave it with that. Okay, now let me go. I want to go to another idea, which I found to be this new to me, and it's a fascinating idea. Why is it Bikurim? There's a difference between we discussed before. The difference is between Bikurim and Truma. There's another fundamental difference between Truma and Bikurim. When do you designate fruit as Truma, and when do you designate fruit as Bikurim? Truma can only be designated after it's been detached from the ground. As long as the grain is touching the ground, the Hadafrasha does not begin. Bikurim, on the other hand, it's very clear in the Mishnayos, and Rashi quotes us in the Mishnah, that when you begin to see a fruit develop, a fruit ripen, you pluck a blade of grass off the ground, and you tie it around the fruit, and you designate this fruit as now Bikurim. Once Bikurim, it has a certain status of Kedusha. It's possible to designate a fruit as Bikurim while it's still attached to the ground. Whereas Truma, that is impossible. It only can be designated as Truma when it's detached from the ground. Why is this so? Now, this is just one idea, one difference. There are many other ideas, but the yisod that he presents here from the Sefer Kafta Beferach is an amazing yisod, and it touches upon many hashkafic issues. We're learning as we're learning the Chami, we're learning about this idea of Kedusha Shani Kitchel Shaita Vlaikitchel Aslavai, Vlaikitchel Shani Kitchel Shaita Vikitchel Yaslav. So we learn, it's commonly understood, and we learn this in the Gemara, we learn this in the Sefer, is that when Yehoshua sanctified Eretz Yisrael, it was a temporary sanctification. It was not temporary, but it was contingent upon the Jewish people living in the land. As long as there will be a Beis Hamikdash, will be Klal Yisrael, will be Yoresh, will possess Eretz Yisrael, there will be Kedusha. If Chas V'Shalom, the Jewish people will be exiled, as they were at the time of Babel, the Nebuchadnezzar, and even Melech Ashur, he exiled the Aser Sashvatim. With the exile of the Jewish people, the Kedusha will depart. We're only giving you Kedusha while we are here. Once we leave, the Kedusha disappears. That was Yoshua. Along comes Ezra, Kibush Sheni, Kedusha Shekitsha L'Shaita, V'Kitsha L'Asilavo. The Kedusha that Ezra gave Eretz Yisrael is a Kedusha that is permanent. Even if Klal Yisrael were to go into Golus, which they did at the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Romans, Titus, doesn't matter. The Kedusha remains. Now, L'mai Nafkamina, the Nafkamina is there were many territories, sections of the land that were captured by Yehoshua, that were not captured or not conquered by Ezra during Kibush Sheni. So that means, if you go look on a map, the biblical map from the time of Avraham Avinu, the land that Hashem promised Avraham Avinu, when you go look exactly what Yehoshua conquered, he conquered much, much more than what was conquered by Ezra. Ezra only conquered a small amount relative to what was conquered by Yehoshua. So that means that the Bizman Hazeh, what Kedusha, which part of Israel has Kedusha? Only the part of the land which was conquered by Ezra, not necessarily the part of the land that had Kedusha at the time of Yehoshua and the Sefer Melachim. Okay, that's a very popular, very simple idea. Along comes Sefer, the Kaft of Aferach, that's a Kadma, remember, the Kaft of Aferach, he writes, this din that we're so familiar with in the laws of Kibush, Rishon Kibush Sheni, is only benogea what's called mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. But there's a concept called kedushas ha'aretz. In other words, he's come to say there are two different types of sanctifications. There's kedushas ha'aretz, and there are mitzvos kedusha that's necessary in order to be mekayim a mitzvah hatluyos ba'aretz. Okay, two different now. Therefore, he says, the whole Eretz Yisrael, this is the Hashkafic issue, this is major ramifications, Bizman Hazeh, to relate to Eretz Yisrael. The whole Eretz Yisrael that was conquered by Yehoshua, Minachal Mitzrayim, all the way up to the north, once it was conquered, it was given to Hashem, to Avraham, and it was conquered, it was taken possession of, it got a permanent Kedusha, which cannot be removed. However, there's another degree of Kedusha, it's a different type of Kedusha, called the Kedusha that's necessary in order to fulfill the mitzvos hatluyos baretz. What are that? Truma, and Meiser, and Orla, and so on and so forth. There are mitzvos hatluyos baretz. There's Shemitah, and there's Yovel. There's a whole long list of mitzvos hatluyos baretz. That degree of Kedusha was only given, was only sanctified temporarily, or only for the duration when Klal Yisrael was on the land for the Bayis Rishon, and once they were exiled, that Kedusha dissipated, it disappeared. When they came back in the time of Ezra, they reconquered, they gave it another Kedusha for the musical Yisparitz, but only the sections, the territory which they recaptured. But the Kedusha Sa'aretz of the entire Eretz Yisrael from the time of Yehoshua never went away. So along comes Rav Sender, based upon a number of sources, he says an incredible, incredible chiddush. This is a mamish, a novel, a chiddush to say such a thing. The din bikurim is not totally in the kedusha of the mitzvos hatluyos baretz. The mitzvah bikurim is totally in kedusha saretz, not the mitzvos hatluyos. There's kedusha saretz, and there are mitzvos hatluyos baretz. Truma, Meiser, Orla, Kilyakerem, Shemitah, Yovel are mitzvos atluyos baretz, are mitzvos that depend upon the earth. So if the earth has a certain sanctity, yes, if it's not, not. So what happened? The Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, the different territories, yes and no. But Bikurim is a whole different ball game. Bikurim is the essence of the land. It's an incredible idea. Which means It applies with Zman. We don't do because we can't do it for technical reasons. We can't come to the Beis HaMikdash. Put it from the Mizmanida Mizbeach. I need a Beis HaMikdash. But it's a mitzvah that it's choviv ad me'od because it's the kedusha sarts, and that is why it explains very simply why the difference, why it begins when it grows. When it comes to Truman Meiser, that doesn't begin until you detach it from the ground, and now you have a chefsa, now you have the side, this again. But it's because it doesn't necessarily relate to the growth, to the nika from the aretz. Bikurim, when it begins to sprout, this is the aretz. This is the kedusha aretz from the very beginning, from the very shurish. Just like what Hashem gave Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov a klai shel conquer from the very beginning, from the roots, from the nika, it has not even formed. Just the fact that it's begun to bud. Because that's what it's all about. This Kedusha has come from the very, very beginning. This is the Kedusha Sa'aretz. Even when it's not detached from the ground, even when it's not ripe, it's just in its incipient state, already there's Kedusha. Because this Kedusha came from way, way back. It's an early Kedusha. It's an inherent Kedusha. You want to talk about Shulah Naisar? That's already a whole different. That's Tuluyos Ba'aretz. Are we living in the land? We're not living in the land. It's the Kibushani, Kibushrishon. That's an entirely different level. Okay, this is just the Rosh Hashanah. And you can go on. And if you go and you analyze all the differences between Bikurim. Bikurim as a vidu, you have to make a declaration. What are you making this declaration? The land that you've given our forefathers, you don't have a vidu, you don't have a declaration, you don't bring it in baskets and wave it and give it to the Kohen with a sense of appreciation. All of the different, these are just a touch, tip of the iceberg. There are many different areas of halacha that you can divide between Bikurim and Meiser, but all comes down to this yesod. The yesod is this kedusha soaretz, and there are mitzvos hatluyos soaretz. Kedusha soaretz is permanent. When you go to Eretz Yisrael today, no one can take away from you the fact that you're in a holy land. Even Sinai, you go down to the place. There are certain areas that definitely do not part of Kibbutz Sheni. They're not. There's no din mitzvos hatluyos soaretz, but they have kedusha soaretz. And they have kedusha soaretz. You don't just give it up so quickly.
Part of Syria.
You just don't give it up. You know that's a hashkafic issue. In Achanani, this part is we'll observe 2 days Yom Tov here. We're not going to separate Trumas and Maestros here. But it's part. It has kedusha soaretz. It's part of Bikurim. If we can bring Bikurim from here. We can bring, if there was a Mizbech, we can bring Bikurim, because that this is a very, very...
The Jews that lived in Syria 100 years ago, or in Lebanon, did they observe two days Yom Tov?
Well, the 2 days all depended on if the Shluchim could get there. It has nothing more to do than that. So even though Yimam is part of Eretz Yisrael, you're part of it, but if the Shluchim couldn't get to you by that time due to the weather... Due to the weather, you know, let's say it was the winter, it was freezing cold, and there was ice, and they didn't know. If they didn't know, you didn't know, so you have to wait 2 days, even though we're part...
No, I'm not talking 1,000 years ago. I'm talking about now.
Okay, let me just tell you one more idea.
5 years ago, in the 40s.
Okay, I want to tell you one... I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure you can look up online, you probably find all the articles. The problem is, you go up online, a lot of the stuff is not orthodox. There's a lot of conservative stuff and reform stuff, and again, who knows, you have to be very careful. Okay, but there's one last idea. This is very chav to me, this last idea. I'll try to go very quickly. He brings out this idea in for his purposes, but he makes the following powerful yesod. Again, he develops it. You can develop it in many different ways. If you look very carefully, the Parsha of Bikurim, there are two declarations. It's fascinating. We have to go to Parshas Kisav. V'lokachta mereishis kopri adam asher tavi me'artzach asher Hashem l'chach nosein loch v'san d'vatena v'lachta l'makom asher ashtiv Hashem l'chach l'shakin shosham uvos l'koyim asher yibay mohim. Here we go. V'omar toy lof. Speak up. Raise your voice. And declare, He gadati hayoim. I declare today, LaHashem Elokecha ki vosi al aretz asher nishpa Hashem lavaseinu lo ases lanu. Hagada, I make this declaration. Okay, fine. Coin takes it. Skip one pasuk. Nochama pasuk hey. V'anisa v'yamarta. Raise your voice and say the following. Wait a minute. Why couldn't the pasuk put them together? Why couldn't this be part of the Higadita? And in fact, in the Haggadah, we call the Haggadah, it's also so bizarre, we call the Haggadah the Haggadah, because the Higadita Hayom, and we're really quoting from what it says later on, which really begins with the word V'yonisa V'yomarta. His point is, if you look very carefully in the declaration, there are two completely different declarations in the Bikurim. Two completely different things. I come first as V'igarti Hayoyim, and then there's V'anisa V'amarta. Higarti was a statement, I acknowledge, Ribbono Shel Olam, you brought us here, this is your land, we're here, thank you very much. And then you raise your voice, part two. Okay, curtains close, everyone go out for a drink, come back in, open the curtains, part two. The Anisa of Yomarta. Let's go through Jewish history. You go into part two. What is going on? So he has a whole chapter and he explains the Atzeidinim and Bikurim, and you can mafalpel in the two different degrees of Bikurim to try to relate and connect the significance of these two parts. These two different statements in the Parsha Bikurim. I want to take this idea and connect it to something which caught my attention back in Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor, we learn about the mitzvah of the Omer. We're now in the middle of Sfira. Today is the 34th day of Sfira. In case anyone didn't count, 34th day of Sfira. And how do we count Sfira? We count days and we count weeks. In Parshas Emor, what does the Torah tell us to count? It doesn't tell us to count days. It tells us to count Sheva Shabbosos Tanimos, nothing more than weeks. In Parshas Re'eh, what does the Torah tell us to count? Tisperu Chamishim Yom, days. So this is a famous, this is famous popular Torah that you're supposed to count days. And you count weeks. Parshas Emor is weeks. Parshas, what's the difference? Why do we count both? What is the significance of counting days and counting weeks? So let's go to the end of Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor, we learn about two different parts of the Beis Hamikdash. Two different korbanos. We have the Shulchan and the Menorah. Gemara tells us that a miracle happened every single day in the Beis HaMidrash with regard to the menorah. What was the miracle? They put in only enough oil for it to last 12 hours, and the Ner Maravi lasted 24 hours. This was an ongoing daily miracle. Now there was another miracle in the Beis HaMidrash, and the miracle of the Shulchan. What was the miracle of the Shulchan? They put the bread on the table, or they baked the bread on Friday. They put the bread on the table on Shabbos, and they took the bread off next Shabbos. So that means the bread was 9 days old. And the bread was steaming, was still steaming. How could that possibly 9 days old stay like a rock?
Nace.
So let's look at this. So what was the shelf life of the miracle of the Shulchan? A week. A weekly miracle. What was the shelf life of the miracle of the Ner Maravi? Daily. Fascinating. The Omer, we count days, and we count weeks. Right? The miracle of the menorah, they put enough oil for 12 hours. It lasts 24 hours. Daily miracle. Miracle of the Shulchan, the bread should only last 1 day. The bread lasts a week. It's a weekly miracle. What's going on? So first of all, what does the Gemara say? How does the Gemara describe the miracle of the menorah? Eidos Shehashchina Shara B'Yisrael. It's testimony. Hashem did this miracle deliberately, put in enough oil 12 hours, less 24 hours. Eidos. It is testimony. This is testimony. Hashem is making a statement. It's Kilu, he is speaking, and he's bearing witness, that the Shechina is resting among you. When it came to the weekly miracle of the Shulchan, how do the Chazal describe the significance of this miracle? They took the Shulchan, they picked it up, and they opened up the curtains, and they showed Klal Yisrael once in a while during the Regalim. Look, it's steaming. Re'u chibaschem. Look at how much Hashem loves you. The way the miracle is described is not testimony that the Shechina is resting on Klal Yisrael, but it's described as chiba, as love. What's the pshat? Why Eidus daily is called testimony and weekly is called love? So this is a psychological concept. Something that's long term, something special brings out the emotion of love, chiba. Something which is short term, constant, it's a statement. This is the way it is. It's the way it is. So when it comes to a daily miracle, it's Eidus. It's not love. Hashem is making a statement every single day. This, when Hashem does something over a long period of time, Chazal tell us it's an expression of love. Now, when we count sphere, what do? We're counting a way that we're counting simply a way, the Omer, from the day we bring the Omer to when? To Shavuos, to the Yom HaBikurim. And what's Yom HaBikurim? Yom HaBikurim is the culmination of counting both 50 days and 7 weeks. Bishavu Oseichem. And if Yom HaBikurim back, we're back with him. Mincha Chadosh Allah Hashem, Bishavu Oseichem. The festival of weeks, after you count 7 weeks, we're counting towards that moment in time. So I want to suggest that you say chiddush based upon his yisod is that that's the two declarations in the Haggadah of the Bikurim. First declaration is Ki gadati hayoim l'Hashem Elokeichem ki vasi el'oretz. I declare I have come to this land. Haggadah. Haggadah is kineged counting 50 days. I've counted 50 days. 1, 2, 3, 33, 34, 35, 50 days. When you do something every single day, that's called Haggadah. That's Eidus Shashchina. The first statement you make when you finally reach Shavuos, you come into Eretz Yisrael and you reach Shavuos, the first statement is, you say, Higalti Hayom LaShem Elokechem Kivasi Eloharetz Asher Nishpa Hashem LaVaseinu Los Eslanu. Period. Then you make the second statement. What's the second statement? V'yonisa V'yomarta. And you go through the whole Jewish history. And you wrap around, you describe in great detail what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. That corresponds to, you shall count Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos. The weekly cycle. When you count 7 times 7 in weeks, the weeks is the emotion of Chiba. That's why you have this long, elaborate declaration describing the Jewish history, and you brought us to this place, what you've done for us, and you've been so kind to us. It's an expression of love. So this also perhaps can be an explanation of why we have two, to recap, we have here two different statements. There's the statement of Higadita, there's the statement of Vianisa Vianarta. Shavuos is the culmination of counting away from Pesach to Shavuos, the Omer. We count days and we count weeks. In Parshas Emor, it's weeks. In Parshas Re, it's days. We know that there's a difference between days and weeks when we study the miracle that happened to the Shulchan and the Menorah. The Menorah was a daily miracle. The Menorah, the Shulchan was a weekly miracle. Weekly is described as Chiba. Daily is described as Eidus. And we finally reach our destination. We make two declarations. One corresponding to the 50-day count, and one that's the Haggadah, and one corresponding to the 7 times 7 weekly count, which is the more elaborate Haggadah, which is a more elaborate Chiba declaration of the 7 weeks. So Sachal Teva, I think we've gone to three different ideas. Start off, why do we have Bikurim? There are two different Bikurim. There is Bikurim is the term of Bikurim and Truma. Truma is a payment. Socher. Truma, Bikurim is bonus. And sometimes you have to merge the two, like we learn in Nehemiah. We will discuss the difference between why is Bikurim at the end of Masechta Zeroyim, not the beginning, different reasons. Then we had this incredible Yisoid from the Kafta of the Fedach that there is something called Kedusha Soretz and something called Mitzos Hatluyos Baretz. Bikurim is unique. Perhaps the only unique mitzvah that relates to the Kedusha Saretz, not to the mitzvah is Hatuluyos Baretz. And then we have this idea that you have two different statements. There's the Haggadah and there's the Nisav Yonarta, corresponding to the two different things that we're doing between Pesach and Shavuos, Tisru Chamishim Yom, and counting 7 times 7. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.